One day, an antique collector was walking through the city when he noticed a little mangy cat lapping milk from a saucer in the doorway of a store. And he had a little double take when he saw the sight. Now, this antique collector's expertise told him that this little saucer that the cat was licking from, the saucer was extremely old and very valuable. So he walked up casually to the store owner and offered to buy the cat for $2. The store owner replied, "I'm sorry, but the cat is not for sale." The collector said, "Please, I need a hungry cat around the house to catch mice. I'll pay you $20 for the cat." And the owner said, "Sold." And he handed over the cat. Now, as the antique collector headed for the door, he turned and said, "Hey, for $20, I wonder if you would throw in that old saucer. The cat's used to it, and it'll save me from having to get a dish." The store owner replied, "Well, sorry, buddy. That's my lucky saucer. So far this week, I've sold 68 cats." An important question for each of us to answer, an important question is this: what is valuable to me? Is it antiques? Is it things? Is it cats? Or how about people? Do people really matter to us? And if so, how much? Last week, if you're here, you heard a sermon about purpose. God's purpose for us, for you, and God's purpose in the person of Jesus. Jesus, who is always seeking and saving the lost. And the good news? Well, the good news is there's no exclusions. Sinners, tax collectors, scribes, Pharisees, all those outsiders and all those insiders, they're all welcome to the table of God. But what matters most to God is people. People matter to God. Now, Jesus is a storyteller as well. He's the master storyteller, and he used specific stories and images to convey a point of just how much people matter to him. First, Christ paints a picture of a shepherd seeking a lost sheep. Now, if one was to try to bring our human reason and logic to this story, or parable, they called it, our human judgment would pretty much label this as foolishness, right? If you were kind of catching the story, it's kind of dumb. It's bad business practice, actually, if you think about it, to leave 99 other sheep in order to seek and save one that is just lost on its own, probably going to die on its own anyway. It's pretty bad business and kind of irresponsible. Wouldn't you guys say, we got a manor's own sheep? Maybe. You know the story. You probably go after the sheep, so you're good. But for our everyday logic, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to abandon all that you have and then go after something really small. But if we continue to look at this story that Jesus tells us through that gospel reading we heard, if we look through the lens of faith, this parable, this story provides a picture of the exact kind of love, the exact kind of passion that God is willing to give, the kind of love that will risk everything. Everything, even death, and even death on a cross. Now, if people, like you and me, if people matter that much to God, this story, I think, illustrates the relentless pursuit of God who has come to seek and save the lost. And just like sheep, we can look up one day and find that we might have been so busy nibbling on the grass that our heads are to the grindstone of work that we end up lifting our heads and awaken to the fact that we are actually lost. without God. Now, in the days before our smartphones, before MapQuest, before our GPS, global positioning devices, and other kind of directions, I want to share with you another story. There was once a very prominent and hardworking businessman who was driving to an important meeting. Now, it just so happened that he was not only running late, but on top of that, he was flat out lost. Now, spotting a little boy at the side of the road, he stopped and asked this little boy, a bit impatiently, "Son, which way is it to Milwaukee?" "Well, I don't know," was the boy's reply. "Well, do you know the way to the interstate?" "I don't know that either," said the little boy. "Well, you don't know much, do you, son?" said the frustrated businessman. "No, I don't. But I know I ain't lost," said the little boy. We all know how it feels to be lost when we are. We can be disoriented, confused, angry, and we're just wandering. And whether it's the uncertainty about our future, or our purpose, or our health issues, our financial woes, or the challenges of relationships, there simply is no smartphone that can provide a quick fix. We're still going to be lost. And often we still go astray in ways that seem kind of harmless, or in ways which we can easily rationalize or make excuses for. And perhaps this is the most dangerous of ways that we can become lost, like sheep. We cover our words in phrases like, "I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious." Or, "I don't want to go to church today because church is just full of hypocrites." Or this little gem, "I can believe in God without being around anybody else." What's the point? If that is what Christianity is boiling down to, then they might have a point. But if you and I, as sheep, know better, we can't survive on our own. We can't do it on our own. We need each other. We need people, regardless of if we like them or not, or if they're perfect or not. And that is why we worship a relentless God, a God that never gives up, a God who in Jesus will never give up offering his radical, undeserved love and never stop pursuing us. Whether we wander away or whether we just give up on God. You see, that's why we call Jesus the Good Shepherd, because he cares so deeply and he's committed to relationships. And that's kind of what we're doing here, why it's important for us as Christians. We don't just do church, we don't just come to church, we don't just be good people to make God happy. I mean, it does, but that's not the purpose of why we're even Christians. You see, Christianity, our faith, it's all about relationships. Without one another, we're good as dead. We need people, and people matter to God. The Good Shepherd cares so deeply and is so committed to relationships that God will not be satisfied until he joins you into a relationship, and until he draws every single person into himself. That is how much people matter to God. And this is how much God is asking of you to value people. You see, in our overly technological world, we can kind of get lost in ourselves. It's very easy to forget one another. Even when we're home, we can be so buried in what's going on in our two hands, where we flat out miss maybe our own child's first steps because we're too busy looking at our computers. We're too busy with ourselves instead of valuing the relationships that are put right in front of us. But we know that these relationships are what truly matters. If you are in the workplace, you know exactly that. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And us as Christians, I think we're sitting in a pretty good spot. Because not only do we know God, but God knows you. I think there's kind of a familiar song, too. We even heard it when our childhood. There's a song you probably heard, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. How about we flip that around? Jesus knows me, this I love. How do you like that? Jesus knows you. He knows how messed up we can sometimes be, how broken we can be. And God still wants you. That's what this relationship is all about. That's the kind of attitude that God wants and desires for us and for you to bring into your own relationships. To know each other. To take time out and appreciate. And that's why God will take this attitude of giving up everything, abandoning the 99 sheep, abandoning the lost coins to go after that one. Because it's all about people. Now, Jesus gives us that other example of a woman who loses one of her silver coins and desperately looks under every little nook and cranny of her house to find it. Now, if you thought the first story about the sheep was pretty ridiculous, this one's probably even more so if you really stop back and think about it. A woman loses one little coin. She might be an avid coin collector, maybe. That's probably understandable, but she just goes crazy. She just starts ripping up all her sofa cushions under her bed mattresses, goes out in the middle of her, underneath her our car seat maybe, tries to find this little coin. It's that important. And then if she does find it, and when she does, she just goes crazy. She's like, hey, everybody, I found my coin. Like, meanwhile, her neighbor's like, okay, lady. Whoop-de-doo. And she throws a party. Now, this is a ridiculous story for emphasis that Jesus tells because of how important it is to find something that is lost, to restore a relationship that was broken. The coin itself is only representative of about 10 days' worth of earnings. And just like the image of that shepherd seeking a lost sheep, Jesus is here painting a similar picture about a relentless search out of desperation as a woman searches for that lost coin. And I think we can kind of, at some point or another, identify with this woman's frantic search when something of great value is missing. Now, you don't have to answer this, but think just for a moment about what is the most important thing, could be an object, could be a person. What's the most important thing in your life right now? Take a minute and think about that. What is the most important to you? Imagine if you lost it. Or lost that person. What would you do? You might freak out like that woman, searching all over to make sure that was brought back to you. So don't miss that moment of what this woman does in the parable. When this woman finds that missing coin, a huge sigh of relief. It's not only the thing that she breathes. She decides to throw a party. That's what you do. Celebration, joy, community. You can't have a party without people. You see, it's people that matter. And people all bear witness to a God that does the same thing over you. God simply rejoices over every single time that you willfully decide to remember him. could be opening up a page of the Bible and reading it. God just throws a party. He's ecstatic. You come to worship this morning. God is elated, giggling over the fact that you want to be close to Him as much as He does with you. It's as if He found a lost coin. And that's why people matter. And we should be as excited about the opportunity every day to see the people in your life. Because joy is that emotional hooray of God. It's the sound of heaven's applause. Our deep and abiding sense of reminding us that people matter. Now, perhaps the rest of the scandal of this story is that we like God in an idea, in a box. We like to put God in a box, kind of segregate God into one little day of the week that we just devote to God, maybe. We like to treat God like a little domesticated pet, like a cat. And only these stories offer us a glimpse of God that intrudes and disrupts our little pet notions of who we think God is. You see, our lives are nothing without God and nothing without people. The people that you love and the people that you don't want to love, they all still matter. They all make you who you are. And that's what makes Easter, the celebration of Jesus rising from the dead, that's what makes Easter reverberate still today. A few weeks even after, thousands of years after, it's because people, just like you, people matter. You matter. God is bigger than our attempts to limit the extent of His grace and His love. And that's why we're called as people today to love without limits, to care for people without limits, doing things out of our heart, even when we don't get anything in return, when no one's looking. We'll be honest about our intentions. We'll buy that saucer and we'll buy that cat all in the same time. When we look in the mirror of our own lives, people should inspire us to say thank you and then dance with joy because people matter. And for all of us who might be feeling lost in one time or another, when we are like that sorry businessman on the highway, when we're experiencing a sense of confusion and lostness in life, God, our good shepherd, is still going to seek after you and not stop until He lets you know that you guys are one in the same and together again. And for all of us that are searching for joy, not happiness, but joy, the God of joy and God of life is already there. God has already found you. And He has already made His decision upon your life in baptism with a resounding yes. Sold. So, today we can stop running away. And we can begin running into the arms of a God that wants to be with you. Because people matter. You matter to God. You are not only found, but you are still loved. And I think that is what living life as people of the resurrection is all about. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.